all become. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. He weather becomes crown. He overcome, he overcome. Every high thing has to come down. Every stronghold has to break in Jesus' name, because you wear the victor's crown, because you conquered the grave, because you conquered death. You took on yourself every curse that the enemy has tried to put on this, on us, your people. You took every curse on the cross of Calvary. You shed your blood for every curse. This morning, I bind every curse in the name of Jesus. Every demonic thing in this house, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And I bring it under the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare the blood of Jesus in this house upon every person sitting here. In Jesus' name, I declare the blood of Jesus shall cover you right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Praise the name of Jesus. What an awesome song. Whenever I sing that song, you know, my spirit gets stirred up. Something happens in me because it's such a powerful song. The words are so amazing, so powerful. It's so much truth. Now, when we sing the singing the word of God, you know, something stirs me up. And I just praise God for the redemption power of Jesus that He's brought us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. He's done that because He loves us. He's done that because He wanted to do that. Not out of any compulsion. He did it out of choice. He chose to do that for you and for me. Church, I just want us to catch that this morning. I want us as a church to break from anything that is generational. Every curse that has come down the line generationally, I want us to break free this morning. I don't want this stuff to touch our lives anymore, to speak into our lives anymore, to have any hold on our lives anymore. Why? Because Jesus has set us free. There's no chance for the enemy to come anywhere near us unless we allow him to do that. And this morning I want to bring this message to you because I believe it's what God wants for this house. And I believe in this season of fasting and prayer, God is bringing deliverance into this house. God is setting his people free right here in this place. And it starts with us. If there ever is a revival, if there ever is a move of God, it has to start with you. It has to start with me. We've got to set ourselves and our sights on the things that are the Spirit of God, and know that God has called us, that He's positioned us, that we are here with purpose. We are not here by accident, but we are here by purpose, and we are here to demonstrate kingdom power. That's why we are here. We are here to say, let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, it's victory. On earth, it has to be victory. One of our prayer focus points is, if you look at the last one, that we want to see people forgiven, restored, set free from all manner of situations. All manner of situations. All manner of problems. And you know something? It is sad that there are many Christians today who are bound. I said Christians today are bound by curses. Demonic curses that has been spoken over people. Curses received knowingly or unknowingly. Self-declared curses or family sickness, or something that has been generational, that has been spoken into people's lives, you've spoken it into your life. Let me explain that. For example, if diabetes has been in your line, what do the doctors say? Oh, your generations have had diabetes, so you will have diabetes. Why should we have diabetes? Today we can change that line. We can cut off that generational curse. We can come against it in the name of Jesus. Just because our forebears or somebody in our previous generations suffered from an illness, suffered from some condition, does not necessarily mean in the physical, yes, doctors might say that, and I don't dispute that, but in the spiritual, we have authority, we have power in the name of Jesus to change our course, to change our confession, to change our lives, to change and declare what the future is going to hold for us, not what the past is dictating to us. Can you see that? To dictate what the future is going to hold for us, not what the past has been dictating for to us. And this morning, sadly, many, many people are suffering from generational curses, from generational sicknesses, because they've readily accepted it. And this morning I want us to come to a place where we say, no, enough is enough. I am not accepting a generational curse, a generational disease, a generational condition that has come down the line. I am not accepting it. I'm putting a stop to it today. How many are with me? Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Come on now. We don't have to put up with stuff like that. It is not for us. If we believe that Jesus died on the cross and he took everything, every curse on the cross of Calvary, then we can be set free right now, today, in Jesus' name. Everything of the occult, what's the meaning of occult? If you look it up, you'll see the occult means hidden, covered. That's what it means. When you talk about occultic practices, they are practices that are hidden. So you don't know the source from where it's coming. It looks glorified on one side. It looks glamorous on one side. But the source is hidden. You cannot see it. That's why the New Age movement is something that people go, wow, this is amazing. But the source is hidden. You don't know where it's coming from because it's occultic. It's covered. And anything that is secretive, anything that is covered, anything that is cannot be put in the open, cannot be brought into the light, is a cult. It's occultic. It comes under the things of the enemy. If it cannot be exposed, if people cannot know exactly what's happening. But there is secret stuff going on. Stay away from it. Don't get involved in secretive stuff. Because the word of God is open, it throws light in dark places. And when light is thrown in dark places, it illuminates those dark places. A curse is an invisible barrier to receiving the blessings of the Christian life. It's an invisible barrier. We don't see it until it is exposed. It is an evil stretched out from the past, and it usually rests on those with a dark or oppressive spirit, and it inhibits people to be what they should be. It inhibits people to be what they should be. That's what it does. And we know that we all face difficulties. We all face problems. I'm not saying that you will not have problems, you will not have difficulties, because the Bible is very clear on that. Jesus says, through your suffering, through your difficulty, through your storm, I will be with you. The storm will not overtake you. The storm will not overpower you, because Jesus said, I am with you in the storm. So we know that Jesus, that the storms will come. We all face difficulties. Some of these can be seen in family situations. Some of these things can be seen in generations. If you look back into your fathers, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you can see certain things that have transferred down the generations, and for whatever reason, you are experiencing it right now. Although there may not be a specific physical cause for that situation you're going through, you're wondering, why is it that my life is so messed up, or my life is like this, or my life is like that? Why is it that I cannot get a breakthrough in my life? Why is it that I cannot find freedom in my life? Why is it that I keep going back to the same old things? Every time I'm under pressure, I revert back to what I've been set free from. That indicates that there could be a generational curse that is still operating, although be it you are a Christian. So if you put it very simply, it's any behavior. It could be our attitudes. It could be some practices. It could be some strange beliefs. People have strange beliefs today. They do. It could be anything that comes against God's word, where there has been no repentance. And it could be that we have left a door open, or our ancestors have left a door open by not repenting of the stuff and the things that they have been dabbling with. And when we leave a door open, who comes through that door? The enemy, Satan himself, because he has free access into our lives because of the curse that still continues. And today I'm going to expose some of these things in our lives. And the whole purpose of my exposing it is so that we can get rid of it. It's not to condemn anybody. Or it's not to say, oh, you know, you've been a Christian all these years and you're still going through this. What on earth is wrong with this? No, it's not for that purpose. It's to say, right, today we are taking stock. Today we are getting rid of it. Today I'm going on a different journey. Today my life is going to be changed. My life is going to be transformed. Today I'm going to walk in victory. John 10, St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 10 tells us this. The thief comes for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. What does the devil come to do? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's not be deceived. That's his agenda. I can't understand people who think that, you know, that are Satan worshippers today. And I think, what on earth? Why would you want to worship devilish things? Why? I just can't understand that. People get into witchcraft and sorcery and dabble in, you know, all of the demonic stuff. And how can that be ever nice? How can that be ever good? If you're casting spells on somebody, if you're speaking doom and gloom over somebody's life, if your whole purpose is to destroy someone's livelihood, someone's family, how on earth can that be good? And yet you see people getting involved in things like that and thinking it is good. That's a perversion from the enemy. That's a perversion from Satan. He's twisted the minds of people to believe that perversion is okay, that evil things are okay. That's why you see so much evil happening in the world. Why? Because if you think in your normal, common mind, human mind, you cannot kill a person or with such brutality. It's not possible in your rational mind. But the enemy twists your mind to such a degree that it becomes almost easy to take the life of somebody, easy to kill somebody today. And hence you see why people today are carrying knives, they're carrying guns, they're carrying weapons of destroying people. It's because the enemy has twisted their minds and given them somehow that protection is, I must carry a knife. Or I must carry a gun, or I must carry a weapon with me to protect myself. Can you see how the enemy has twisted, taking you away from God's eternal protection over your life? If God does not protect you, nobody else can. No gun, no knife, no nothing else can protect us. God can protect us. I remember Michael here sitting here told me once that he was on a train. And there were some people who got onto that train and who were coming at him, who were trying to, you know, pick up a quarrel with him, trying to, you know, somehow hurt him. And he said, but they couldn't. They couldn't touch him. He had no knife, no gun. What did he have? God's presence. When you have God's presence on your life, you don't need any gun or blade. Because his presence will protect you. The problem is that when we knowingly and deliberately turn against God's ways and we don't repent, then there are consequences. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6. If you have it in the message, that'll be great. This is where God gives the commandments to Moses. And one of the commandments to Moses and to the children of Israel was this: no carved gods of any size, shape, or form of anything whatever. No carved gods of any size, shape, or form of anything whatever. Whether of things that fly, walk, or swim, don't bow down to them and don't serve them. Because I am God, your God. And I am a most jealous God, punishing the children of for any sins. Have a look at that again. Punishing the children for any sins their parents pass on to them, to the third, and yes, even to the fourth generation of those who hate me. In other words, for those who have gone against God and who haven't repented of their sin. But it says, but I'm unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I'm unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Now, this might seem a bit harsh. You might think, well, this is a bit unfair. But in reality, God is seeking to keep us in a place of blessing. That's why. God wants us to be in a place of blessing. In a place where there is life abundant. Abundant living, abundant life. A life of blessing, a life that causes us to go from glory to glory, from victory to victory. That is why God has put these things in the Word, in His Word. He says, stay away from these things. Don't get involved in these things. Idolatry is a curse today. And even in the Christian world, we see a lot of idolatry. So what about these generational curses? How do they affect us? And here's a question. Can Christians be under a generational curse? Of course, yes. And no. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes. More often than not, unknowingly. So what is a curse, a generational curse? It's invisible. You can't see it. But it operates. So this is how you can know that it's happening. It can be specific patterns in families. Specific patterns in families. So, let's say for example, you've seen in your family line that there has been teenage pregnancy. Every generation. Pregnancy outside marriage. Every generation. It goes down the line. If you see a breakdown in marriage, or if you see divorce, if you see it in every generation, you wonder why. Why is it that in every generation, they can't stay married? There's divorce. Where the parents have divorced. And you know what happens? When there's divorce in a family, it leads to higher degrees of depression. It leads to suicidal attempts. It leads to people having crazy thoughts. It leads to problems in your health. It leads to childhood sexual abuse as well. Could be another route that you can see happening in generations coming down the line. Dropping out of school, if this has happened in generations, where somehow the children in the previous generation had never completed school, they never completed their college. People who have been arrested because of unlawful behavior. There are generations of people you have seen that in every generation there's been disloyalty, there's been a breakdown in people obeying the law, and people have been arrested. There are generations of people who have been involved in crime. And it happens in every generation. That's another curse. Addiction is another curse. If you've seen generation and your ancestors who have been hooked into alcohol, who have been abusing alcohol, who have been addicted to other drugs and substances, where they will allow that spirit to operate in their lives. There's been no control. Because the Bible talks about self-control, and I spoke about that last week. But if there's a situation in our lives where there is no self-control in any area, whether it's to do with eating or drinking or anything else that we habitually do that controls our lives, that is coming from the enemy, because we are unable to break free. Sometimes you find in some generations, some families, getting jobs become difficult, keeping jobs become difficult. And you wonder why. You have all the qualifications, but somehow you cannot stay in a job. You cannot keep that job. You're unable to be loyal to that job. There is a reason. Why is it? You're well qualified for the job. But why is it you're unable to keep it? What's the reason? Some people find relationships difficult. Maintaining relationships difficult. They usually keep themselves to themselves. There could be a reason why relationships can be difficult, because there could be a generational curse that has come upon your lives. Many people have been wounded today from the stuff that our ancestors have dabbled in. There are scars even today. Even Christians today are carrying deep-rooted scars in their lives because of the hurt and because of the disappointments of their forebears. Divorce in families has left children scarred. We've seen a lot of children. There's nothing wrong with them. It's because of what's happened in their families that today they have been scarred. And they don't know how to react because of all the abuse and the things that they have seen happen in their families, in their parents' lives. And unless God touches and removes that scar, that pain never goes. That pain is always there. And it gets triggered every time that person gets involved in something that connects to that experience. The emotion triggers it off. But today, we can break that off over our lives. Hallelujah. The scars can be removed today. We don't have to carry it anymore. Hallelujah. Another thing that, again, you see in family lines is pornography. The spirit of lust operating. And sometimes it transfers from father or mother to son, daughter. Spirit of lust. Spirit of anger. There are some people who get so angry. Inhumanly angry. We all get angry from time to time. That's okay. Anger is an emotion. But there are some who have uncontrollable anger. That is dangerous. That's coming from somewhere else. That's coming. There's a source for why somebody is uncontrollably angry. Adultery is another one. Some people find it difficult to stay faithful to the person they are married or they are committed to. Some find it difficult. Some find it easy to flirt around. That's the spirit of lust that's operating over those people, over their lives. Because they know they are committed to someone, but they find it difficult to stay committed to that person. I know I'm touching on so many things. And the whole purpose, as I said earlier, is so that we can identify whatever that is going on in our lives and we come to a place where we understand why it's happening. And we don't, today we make a resolution in our own hearts and in our own lives that today I am going to stop this affecting me. I'm not going to allow this anymore to operate in my life. I'm stopping it today. I'm dealing with this situation. Sometimes it can be perversion that can be operating with intensity that a person cannot stop himself. And what happens is when it happens from generation to generation, members of the preceding generations are more predisposed to repeating that behavior because of the heightened exposure to it. And so you might be repeating that behavior and you know it is not right, but somehow you feel compelled to do it. That tells me that there is something that is compelling you to continue in that path, although you know it's not the right path. Can you see that? Does it make sense? Anyone? Yes. Somebody here? There's also the physical manifestation of curses, and it can come in sickness and disease. Now, I'm not saying everything is a curse, every sickness, a disease, is a curse. No. But there are some people are bent over, or some people are hurt, or some people are struggling from conditions in their bodies that are, as a result, no medication can help. And I think depression is one classic one. Mental health issues are real issues that there is no cure as such. And it could be a generational thing where there has been depression coming down the family line. And you find somehow, in spite of people having everything in life, they still remain depressed. And that's something to check to see, why is there depression? Why is there sickness continuously in our bodies? And often we need to seek discernment. We need to know the source. Where is it coming from? Is there a spiritual reason why I am in this situation? And it's discernment is to know. And I'm praying this morning that we will know. And that God will bring some revelation to us so that we can point things out and say, right, this is it. I know it is this. And I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to forgive my forebears. I'm going to come out of this situation. And I'm going to be set free. What happens is all these behaviors, they open doors to demonic activities that access our mind and our body. And sometimes it becomes difficult to deal with it. Why? Because we become more and more deeply embedded in those behaviors. So how does it get there, you might ask? Through sin. That's one way. If you continuously sin, or if you are continuously in iniquity, what does that mean? To have deformed ideas, twisted, perverted, sinful. Where there has been willful sin that has been committed against God without repentance. The enemy has a window of opportunity to come and destroy our lives. That's the first one. The second one is generationally. How do these things come? Generation, we have been talking about that. Notice that the scripture that we read says, it says this, sin or iniquity in us will visit or be passed on from children to how many? Third, fourth generations. For those who hate God. Some versions translate the word as punish. That these things will visit the generations and punish. So if not dealt with in our generation, it'll come back in the next generation. But what I want us to see this morning and what I want us to get this morning is we're not allowing anything to pass our generation. Amen? We're not allowing anything to go down our family line. It is cut off in the name of Jesus. Today, we cut it off our lives. So what happens is when we sin, these strongholds take a hold of our life. What's a stronghold? It's something that keeps you bound. It keeps you in a place of not being free. You feel as if you are in a well. There's no freedom. But today we are breaking free. Amen. We have the choice to break free. We can remain in our situation, or we can choose to break free. And I'm praying that our choice will be to break free. I mean, why would anyone want anything else other than to walk in freedom? Am I right? But we can't do it with ourselves, by our own will or volition. Why? It cannot be done because it has a spiritual connotation. It has a spiritual thing that is happening. It's not just in the physical, in our emotions, not just in the natural. It's in the spiritual. And the only way that we can counteract these things is when we allow the Holy Spirit to shut the door in the face of sin. Allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and bring to light those things that are hidden so that the Spirit of God can expose it, that we can then deal with it. Because we have the all-powerful name of Jesus. There's no other name given amongst men whereby you and I can be saved except through the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There aren't 100 ways to the God, the Father. There is one way. Now, many will disagree with me on that. But we know according to Scripture, Jesus is the only way. Why? Because He took your sin and my sin and He died on the cross. Nobody else died on a cross. Nobody else took our sickness and our shame and our infirmities and our disappointments and all our hang-ups. Once and for all, nobody else shed their blood as a ransom for mankind. Not just for Christians, it's for everybody who believes in His name. Hallelujah. The third one is this, through hate. In other words, being disloyal to God, disobedience. The spirit of disobedience, spirit of rebellion operating in people who call themselves Christians. There are many in generations past where they have chosen or preferred something else over God. They have renounced God in their lives. They've renounced anything to do with God in their lives. And sadly, what happens? The enemy takes that and it gives him a right to come and buffet you. But today, we're going to stop that. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to stop it today in the name of Jesus. The scripture tells us that people who sin against God become His enemies. Let's not fool ourselves. If we are continuously in sin, we become God's enemies. Yes, the love of God is still there. But if we continue in sin, we become His enemy. And God says, I will punish them. And He said, I will be kind to the people who love me and obey my commandments. So how do we break free? We have to want to break free. I want to break free. We can choose otherwise. But if we want to break free, then this is how we can break that curse, including generational curses. Are you ready? So the first thing we've got to do is realize the power we have in the name of Jesus. Because there's no other name that can set you free except the name of Jesus. And if you do not know this person called Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your life and you do not understand the power of God that's in you, these curses will continuously chase you. Because only it's by knowing and realizing and receiving the forgiveness that Jesus gives you and the authority that you have in the name of Jesus that you can come against these curses and these generational things that are affecting your life. So you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. The scripture tells us that God shows mercy on thousands of generations who love Him. God shows mercy. Hallelujah. This tells us that we can break every cycle of the occult in our families, in our lives. And more importantly, we also have the power to create new ones to reflect God's righteousness and God's holiness. We can create good patterns of life. We can create those things that are in righteousness and holiness. We can change our bloodline by accepting the bloodline of Jesus Christ. We can change our situations coming down the generations by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19 tells us this. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. Can you see that? Underline that scripture. Mark it out. Write it out, because that's your deliverance scripture this morning. That's your scripture to get yourself free from generational curses this morning. Because it says, you are not, for it was not with perishable things such as gold or silver that you were redeemed from the empty way handed down to you from your ancestors. You were not delivered by those things that are handed down by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the precious blood of Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to stop whatever that has come down your family line, your generational line, whatever is down your family tree can be cut off in the name of Jesus by his blood. Can you see that? Galatians chapter 3, look at Galatians chapter 3, chapter 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us or rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon him the curse of our wrongdoing. Hallelujah. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us back with his blood. The next scripture I'd like you to look at is Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. When you come into a place where you want to be delivered from generational curses, these are the scriptures that bring faith into your life. That you are to stand on this word. That's why I'm giving you these scriptures. These are scriptures, I wanted to underline them. I wanted to write them out, because this is the one that brings faith. It says, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches of grace. Hallelujah. Not based on who we are or what we are. It's based on him, on his grace. The other scripture that I want you to mark out is found in Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians chapter 1, verses 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Tell your neighbor, he's qualified you. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you, qualified you. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. What's an inheritance? It's passed on from generation to generation. If your inheritance has been tainted with sin and death, and stuff that has been going on by your forebears, today you can take that verse and say, he has enabled me to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. I am deciding to live in the light, and my inheritance is changing. My inheritance is in the light. My inheritance is in Jesus. There is something that we have got to recognize and understand. See, we have the name of Jesus. There's no issue with the name of Jesus. We know it's the most all-powerful name. And when we say we are a believer, it's not just saying I'm a believer and then staying there. It's a journey of faith. And when you say you're a believer, you got to believe what Jesus has said. You got to believe what the scripture is saying. That tells me you are a believer. If I say I'm a believer and I'm doubting something here because my mind is telling me, no, really, you have it in your generations. You have this coming down your line. So you are obviously going to get all these conditions. And I'm saying no, but the word of God tells me otherwise. It says I've been redeemed from that curse. And today you got to tell yourself as a believer, I am redeemed from that curse. I'm redeemed from that curse. Turn with me to Luke 10 and verse 19. It says here, Jesus is talking here. You know, he sent the 70 out to witness. And then he says in verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Then he says, behold, verse 19, I give you the authority. Underline that word. I give you. Who's giving us? Jesus is giving. Tell your neighbor, that's you. Tell me with a bit of guts. Come on. That's you. He's giving you that authority. He's given you that authority. Imagine if you were in her Majesty's service and you have been given the authority to stop people in their tracks, to stop traffic. If you join the police department, you have a certain amount of authority to stop somebody on the street and to arrest somebody if they've done something wrong. You and I can make a citizen's arrest, but that doesn't amount to much. When a policeman does an arrest, that's serious stuff. But if that policeman took that authority and, I don't think I have authority, really. I'm not sure if I can stop this person on the street. I'm not sure if I should come and arrest you. Would you please come with me? You know, I'm not sure. I know you're a criminal, but I'm not sure whether I have authority. Sometimes we are like that. We have the authority of Jesus, but we are going to the devil and say, I'm not sure I have this authority. You know, I know I'm a child of God. I know, you know Jesus loved me, he saved me, but devil, I'm not too sure, you know. I have all this stuff affecting me. I know it's from you, but nothing I can do. Sometimes we are like that. Instead of taking that scripture and saying, all authority, devil, all authority and power has been given to me. And it says further, to do what? To trample, bam, bang, trample on serpents and scorpions. What are all those things? Demonic stuff. Serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Are you afraid of being hurt? Take that scripture and say, God, I believe your word. Nothing in hell can hurt me. When I pray over my family, that's what I say. Nothing in hell can hurt my family. Nothing can touch them. I take authority over my family in the name of Jesus. No sickness or disease is tolerated in my home. Nothing can penetrate my walls. Nothing can penetrate my doors because of God's power that's in our house. That God's power is in us. We have to make a stand this morning. Whose power do you want to go after? Whose power? How are we serving this morning? Are we serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has given us all this authority and power? Or are we still standing back thinking, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I need your help. Yes, we do need help from time to time, but there's a time when you got to take the word of God and we got to act it out. And many times we are like beggars. We want God, help me, God, help me. But God is saying, you have my word. Start speaking it. Start declaring it. I have given it to you. And we remain in our condition. We remain in our problems. Why? Because we are refusing to declare God's word. Because our mind is telling us something else. But that's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to tolerate anything of the enemy. I'm not going to tolerate him. No way will I give him a foothold in my life or in my family. And I believe our family is blessed because of that. Our children are blessed because of that. Because we don't tolerate sin in our lives. And it comes by taking authority, knowing who you are. Because problems will come, situations will come. It's not that we're living a life called rosy-cosy with no issues or problems or situations. They're all there. But what we have learned to do is to overcome it and not to succumb to it. And how do we do that? Through the word of God, by declaring God's word. So here's a scripture that you can declare over your life and over your family. Mark it out. All authority has been given. 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says this, that if we confess our sin, what is confessing our sin? It's telling. Confessing is telling God your sin. If we confess our sin, if we tell God our stuff, our hang-ups, our issues, our problems, our burdens, and whatever else that the enemy is trying to damage us with, tell it to God this morning. If we confess it to God, he says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. Not just to forgive us, but also to cleanse us. Don't stop at forgiveness. Be cleansed in the name of Jesus. When you're cleansed in the name of Jesus, that means you are washed clean by his blood. the old stuff, the old stains. If you put a white soiled garment into your washing machine and you put it on 90 degrees with sufficient powder there and you bring it out 90 minutes later, if it's still soiled and dirty, what would you do? You won't put up with that. You'll throw the machine, get another one, or you'll deal with it somehow. Don't stop at forgiveness. Be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means all unrighteous deeds. So the first thing we've got to do is this: recognize how the enemy is destroying our lives. Recognize it, that there's a generational pattern. Recognize it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. There's a generational curse on your life. Name it. Be specific. Name it. And say, I believe it is from this source. Name it. It's not blaming somebody else. You're not going to blame your grandparents or your great-grandparents. What they did, they did. It's about recognizing it yourself and putting a stop to it today. It doesn't matter if it was your great-grandfather or mother reading tarot cards or being involved in clairvoyancy. People go and get their palms read today. If you've been involved in palm reading, if you've ever given your hand to one of these clairvoyants down a sea, you scatter down the seaside, don't they? You know, see them sitting in these darkish, strange-looking little things, all covered up, dressed strangely, with a crystal ball in front of them. If you've been involved in stuff of stones and, you know, charms, and even if you brought artifacts, you know, going abroad, you buy certain things, you think, oh, this will look nice on my mantelpiece, but it's a laughing Buddha. Oh, this will look like nice on my mantelpiece, it's some other thing. Exactly. There are curses written on these things. We went to the point of not even wearing, making sure our children didn't wear clothes that had skulls and stuff on those t-shirts or on those clothes. Why? Because we know that some of these things have been deliberately done to bring a curse on people. Now you might think that's going a bit going over the top, isn't it? It ain't. Because these things are real. That's how careful we were to make sure our children didn't wear anything that had a skull or anything that looked devilish or ghoulish or ugly or something that it's hateful. Sometimes you see a teenager, they wear t-shirts and look and think, wow, why are you wearing that? It looks hideous. What are they doing? They don't understand. They think, oh, I'm placing my mark. They don't realize that what you are wearing has an effect in your own life. You become what you put in. If you put in garbage, that's what will come out of your life. So be very careful. So if parents or grandparents have been involved in all this stuff, and you may have dabbled a bit as well. Maybe in school you did for fun. Children do that, don't they? They put out this Ouija board, you know, and they put a tumbler and they do all the tumbler talking and numerical stuff. And you know the source of all of that is demonic. There's nothing godly about it. And if you have dabbled in those things, then today we got to confess it before God. Say, God, I remember this. Maybe the Holy Spirit is bringing, reminding you of something you did in school foolishly because of peer pressure, that you got involved in something like this. Today, you can get free. It could be some sort of meditation that you have been doing. If you haven't been meditating on the Word of God, you're meditating on some other mantra or some other thing, that could be a curse. If you're meditating, meditate on the Word of God. Read and understand His Word. Dwell on His Word. Psalms 1 talks about that. Why am I saying this? Because it offends God. So we got to repent. Say, God, I repent. I repent. The second thing you have to do is renounce it. Renounce it and then run away from it. Tell God that you want nothing more to do with that thing. You want nothing more. You can pray it, and we are praying in a little while, and say, I renounce this over my life. I renounce this situation. I renounce this generational curse over my life. It could be hereditary diseases. You can say this morning, I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Distance yourself from that behavior. I renounce myself from the spirit of alcoholism, from perversion. I renounce myself. It could be, some brought in through some friendships, through wrong friendships, by being in the wrong places. Often on holiday, we go into so many, we go and look at certain different temples and places like that. And if you are not careful, there are the demonic things that attach them. Sometimes we go in and we think, this is just, we're just watching, just looking at it. But you always need to cover yourselves under the blood of Jesus. Always. Every morning when you get up, if there's one prayer that you must pray, is Jesus, this day, I cover myself under the blood, under your blood, the blood of Jesus. I cover myself under the blood of Jesus. Then you say, I cover my family under the blood of Jesus. And everything that I do today, I declare it is blessed in Jesus' name. Stay away from it. Stop blaming others for your situation. Often we hear people saying, it's because my parents were like that. It's because so-and-so didn't do anything, didn't help me. Receive, this third one is receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness through Jesus, through His shed blood. And then rejoice in the freedom that He gives you. The next one is get some accountability. In the book of James, we read this. It says, confess your sin to one another so that you can be healed. Be accountable to someone. Because always remember, the tempter is always there. The tempter is always there. And he needs just one foothold. That's it. One slight door ajar. This is why we need people around us that we can be accountable to. So when we are going down a path that we feel we are being tormented, we feel oppressed, we can go to this person and say, please pray for with me. I feel this. Then we can pray with that person to come into agreement. Okay, so let's stand this morning. So what's the first thing we need to do? Realize, recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. Repent of whatever sin, whatever generational curse that you know has come down the line. Receive, ask God to forgive you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. This is a precious moment. This is a time when we allow the Holy Spirit to put a search, His searchlight. Whilst our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many here this morning really know that there's something that hasn't shifted? You know that there's something in your life that needs to shift today. I want to see your hand right now because I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to show you how to pray. Something needs to shift from your life. You know there could be something that the enemy is holding you bound. Thank you. Thank you. So here's the first thing we are going to do. We're going to confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Say with me, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God and you are the only way to the Father. You died on that cross for my sin. You rose again from the dead and you took on yourself every curse. And now is the time you can mention that curse, whatever that you think right now Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Begin to speak it out. Jesus, you took this very curse. Say with me, you took on yourself every curse that could ever come upon me. And now, Lord, I repent. Jesus, I give up all my rebellion, all my sin, and I submit to you as my Lord. I submit to you as my Lord. I submit to you as my Lord. I ask you for mercy, Jesus. From now on, I want to live for you. I want to hear your voice. And I want to do what you tell me to do. And oh God, I confess my sins. And now you can confess your sin. Whatever that is, the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness over what I have committed to you right now. God, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for all those things that expose me. All those curses that I've been exposed to. Forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. God, I forgive my ancestors for everything that they dabbled in and for any curse that has been brought down my line. I forgive them. I hold no grudges against them. And today, Lord Jesus, I confess and I declare that I renounce every generational curse, every contact with any occultic practice, any contact with occultic practices. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Any satanic, demonic practices, any secret societies that has bound me, I renounce it in Jesus' name. And oh God, I commit to remove from my house any object that brings dishonor to your name. And I cancel all occultic forbidden practices and all Satan's claims against me. I cancel it. I cancel it. I cancel it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I release myself from every curse and every evil influence and every dark shadow that has been over my life and over my family. I release myself from whatever source it has come from in the name of Jesus. And by faith, I walk in your freedom and I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. He wear the victor's crown. He overcome, he overcome.